You're listening to Modern Marketing, a podcast brought to you by Influicity. At Influicity, we build brand communities that drive revenue. Learn more at Influicity.com. On today's episode, Influicity Director of Client Strategy Ben Alberts speaks with David Stark, CMO at OpenStream.ai.
Okay, David, welcome to the Modern Marketing Podcast.
Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate you taking the time to find me and to interview me today.
Well, we appreciate having you on. Why don't you go ahead and share your first insight?
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, when I think about marketing, and I've been doing marketing stuff in B2B for three decades or so, right, and growing, I find it's more and more important than ever to get back to some of the basics. And to me, one of those real basics is to remember, why does your brand exist? Why does your product exist? Many marketers get so caught up in the technical wonder of their capability, particularly if you're selling a technical product, that they forget why they're there. And at the end of the day, their product or their service or their company is all about helping an organization to make money or to save money. So how do you intercept somebody early and often enough so that they can, so you can address their pains? And their pain may not be, I need a confabulator on a Tuesday, because that just happens to be what you sell, right? Good old confabulator co, whatever that is. Rather, it's, I'm having problems making my quota, or I'm having challenges being more efficient and effective with my resources, or, you know, somebody's yelling at me to do X or Y or Z, right? There's something that wakes people up at 3 a.m, if you will, and that they're going to Google and they're searching for. So how well you understand that and who is searching for that, and how well you speak a plain language without a ton of technical jargon, really matters quite a bit. And as sad as it is, and as opportunistic it is, it's actually an opportunity to differentiate yourself as a brand in your competitive arena today, if you can say that more clearly than anybody else.
Find a way to get back to helping your customers solve their simple problems.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem itself may be quite complex, right? When it all comes down to it, and for sure. But the actual pain point itself, what they're experiencing, should be something you can succinctly address or at least talk about. For example, I worked in the 3D printing industry for a long, long time, right? And the people that were managing the products, and we sold the printers, we sold the materials that go into the printers and a whole bunch of other cool stuff around it. I'd have discussions with folks when I was leading their digital efforts about, hey, you know, this is great that you've given me all these technical bits and bytes and all that kind of stuff, but what does it do for somebody? Like, what problem can it solve for people? And they're like, no. Our audience are the engineers and the you know, the technical whizzes and all that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, that's true, but they're people, right? And how do you speak to them as people first? It's not to say you shouldn't have that layer of technical proficiency explained and you know, elaborated upon someplace. And at the end of the day, the chemistry might be what matters most. But you still have to talk to them like they're people. And I find that true in the space I'm in today for artificial intelligence. I found that true when I was with a large Fortune 50 company several years ago, and certainly when I was in the 3D printing space, and I see it all over. So it's kind of interesting to talk about and to think about, which is, we have to remember there's a human being on the other side of the glass, and they shop for stuff. They wake up in the morning, they have the same challenges you do. It's just when they wear their work hat, it doesn't mean they're less human.
You mentioned yourself, you've been a marketer for 30 years, been at a variety of organizations. I got to ask, when did we lose our way? Or have we maybe always been lost and needed this constant reminder to be grounded?
Yeah, I don't think there was any kind of inflection point that said, you know, and I remember 1999, Y2K solutions, that's when the world lost its stuff. No. I wish I could say that. I think it just depends on the organization. Sometimes organizations are just doing something for the same way for such a long time that they get used to it, and it's been successful to some extent. That's why companies hire consultants often, to kind of get that outside-in perspective on what's effective and what matters. And sometimes they take that advice, sometimes they don't. But I don't think there's any one thing. It's just the quicker you can get to market, the more pressures there are in organizations today, publicly held and privately held, to generate pipeline, the more forgiving they are, even if they're not forgetful about it, but they're more forgiving of the, yeah, you're right, we should do it that way, but let's make pipeline. I got to have 3,000 leads in my pipeline tomorrow, right? So I think it's perhaps the pressures that many businesses are on today to provide returns, and the more scrutiny that marketing organizations are under continues. Right. And sometimes you have marketing that's led by big M marketing or little M marketing, right? Little M marketing is, hey, you marketing yutzes, go make me some more freaking pipeline. Shut up. You're all about making me brochures effectively and cranking out pipeline. That's all I care about. Or you're a big M marketing organization, and big M, little M are not necessarily mine, but I like the analogy. A big M marketing, where marketing is more of a strategic differentiator. They're an equal partner at the executive level. The executives believe in marketing, and you use it as a way to strategically understand what you want to be when you grow up and what are the steps that it'll take to get there. And everybody's kind of in the same boat. I believe everybody in an organization works for marketing, believe it or not. Whether or not you're a CFO, a salesperson, or the CEO, everybody works for marketing, because if you don't have a good brand and good clarity on who you are and what you want to be when you grow up and how you serve people and help them to make money or save money, you're lost.
You mentioned that if you don't have a good brand, some of the conversations I have are this notion of performance versus brand marketing. Some people have used the analogy of a pendulum, and it swings back and forth on where there is a bigger focus. Where do you think we are today on that pendulum swing? And do you believe there is a pendulum first, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm thinking out loud with you a little bit. I'm not sure if a pendulum is the best analogy for it. I think it's more of a yin and yang kind of relationship.
Okay. Describe.
Where performance matters, right? No doubt about it. But you get more performance momentum if your brand and your positioning are in a better place and better understood by the people you're trying to communicate to. But what makes that yin and yang spin faster is actually the catalyst that we have available to us as marketers. Sometimes that's money. Right? Do you have the right resources, both the right humans and the right dollars to actually make that go? You can have the most beautifully articulated, magnificent thing in the universe, but if nobody knows about it, it doesn't matter, right? That yin and yang is going to turn very dark gray and ashes soon, right? But if you have the right resources to kind of start that thing spinning, and then you have catalysts like, say, digital capabilities, and we can talk about that for hours, then that yin and yang thing will spin faster and faster and faster. But you definitely need the balance between who you are and what your brand is and what your product is and the value proposition and all that kind of stuff, and the how you do it, right? You need the rocket fuel.
You need the air cover of brand to make a performance as effective as it can be.
I think it's air cover to an extent. Air cover helps, right? Sales people will tell you, I need more air cover so that you can get me more leads and so forth. Great. That's part of marketing's job. We have PR for that, and analyst relationships for that, and everything in between, and customer advocacy and customer stories and all those things to help provide air cover. But you don't get that air cover. You don't get there, if you really boil it down, until you have somebody who knows the difference between you and somebody else. One of the great exercises, it's a classic kind of exercise, is if you put your value proposition down, you write it down, and you cross off your company's name, and you put somebody else's there, did you really notice? Right? Like, is it any different? And that's where you have to think about the classics, like your differential advantage. Like, how clearly have you articulated that? And then how well does your audience actually pick that up? Right? And so what's the receptivity to that? And you can measure that at a high level and a more tactical level, but lots of interesting ways to go.
You work in the AI space, which is a very, you know, buzzword sort of topic right now. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a marketer in AI? Where do you see AI taking us as marketers in the future and beyond?
Yeah. So first and foremost, AI is a terrific space to be a part of now. It's just moving so, so quickly. And I'm fortunate in my current organization where I work with a lot of really brilliant, brilliant people. PhDs and data scientists are all over the place, right? I think AI is kind of exiting. I started to write an article on this and then I stopped. I called it the AI hangover. So, you know, you're going to wake up, you know, January 1st, conceptually in 2024, and you're going to look back and be like, wow, what did I do last year? You know, because so many people from the backyard to the boardroom were talking about AI, right? Thanks to this ChatGPT craziness. And not that it's crazy in a bad way. It's just, you know, that was the fire starter, right? AI has been around. Machine learning has been around for, you know, a long, long time, decades, you could argue. and companies have been using it for lots of different things, but it was the first time that really the masses got their hands on it and could start playing with stuff. And 2023 was chock full of people trying stuff, right? Spending money, seeing what could happen. Marketers were more empowered than ever. And actually, it was kind of a perfect storm in a lot of regards for ChatGPT, because what I suspect OpenAI didn't realize is that marketers would be one of the first groups to jump on board tenfold. And marketers, what do we like to do for them? We like to talk about stuff, right? So marketers pontificating to other marketers about how fantastic this can be for marketers, you know, just really amplifies the heck out of stuff. Suddenly everyone's in a crazed buzz. But for all the good that AI is, and some of the, you know, there's people that are huge advocates for the positivity of what AI will deliver for the universe. And then there are people that are more pessimistic and you know, dark about the AI future, right? Are the Terminators coming to get us, or is AI going to solve for cancer? You know, somewhere in the middle is the right answer, by the way. There will be good actors and bad actors. But at the end of the day, AI's sole purpose, the mission for existing, is to serve humanity in some way, shape, or form.
This podcast is brought to you by Influicity. Since 2015, we've been building brand communities that drive revenue. First, we did it through influencers. Then we added podcasts. Today, we work with world-class brands to build, optimize, and run breakthrough programs that create and capture demand. It's time to stop renting your influence and start owning it. Learn more at Influicity.com.
Human beings created it. You could argue AI is out of control and humans don't know what it's actually doing and it's, you know, all these kind of crazy things, but that's not true. There's rules, there's boundaries, and so forth. But AI is a tool, it's a catalyst in this broader thing that's been going on in marketing for a decade, digital transformation, right? So if you're a marketer, and we just talk about AI in terms of marketing, AI is another catalyst to move things forward. It can help marketers to do stuff faster, maybe not better yet, but it can definitely do stuff faster. It can derive more intelligence from the activities that you're executing. It can do lots of things and give you, finally, I can create images of, you know, a taco flying down a street into a subway because I wanted one, you know. But your imagination is much more unbounded. So it's a challenge. I think what marketers have to be aware of when it comes to AI is, especially if you're using marketing tools for AI, that I'm going to restrict it there. If you're using AI tools for marketing, is sometimes when marketing kicks out, particularly generative AI, is not so good, right? You have to read it. If you tell it, write me a 500-word blog post, yeah, you'll get a blog post out of it. But brother, read it first. Edit it. Tighten it up. It may not be quite what you expected it to be. And there's been certainly some news lately about people using AI for legal briefs, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? If you don't read it, don't trust it, for goodness sakes, completely for what you're trying to do, especially in a consumer sense. But if you're using it in a business, in a B2B marketing sense, which is really what our company does with conversational AI, AI really has the ability to not only serve humanity, but to represent your brand. So what do I mean by that? Well, when you hire human beings to work at your company, ultimately who buys from your company are people that you buy from, people that you like. We all have that nature, and people who you believe. I believe your story. I believe what you're telling me. I believe you can solve my problem. I believe in the team that you're assembling to you know, the Marvel team that you brought to my universe to help me. You have the Iron Man, right? I can say that because my last name is Stark. you have the Iron Man. But when you start putting AI in there, it's very important that AI embodies your brand. It's an exemplification of your brand. It represents your brand persona. And in conversational AI in particular, that matters quite a bit. We've all had these not so great experiences in dealing with chatbots, the average chatbot on a website, or calling into that customer service line and looking for help. And we've all whacked on the zero violently, like, I want a freaking person, right? That doesn't move the needle up for customer satisfaction, right? Or for retention in either of those scenarios. In a classic bot, you come down a kind of a tree, right? It's like, well, what are you here for today? Technical support. Great. Is your problem one of these three things? Great. Is your problem one of these five things? At some point you get to the end where none of those things make sense. And you're just frustrated. Why? Because you need help now. And you expect that from a human, right? A human I can talk to, you can kind of watch me on camera. You can see if I'm happy or sad, or if you're listening to somebody, you can tell how frustrated they are. You can tell even if they're understanding you, just because you're a human being, you're using modalities, right? Multiple modalities of communication. You're combining it for an understanding. So we think it's really important for a business to ensure the integrity of their brand by using all the senses that AI can provide to you. But AI can deliver a very consistent, scalable experience that really just exemplifies your brand rather than doing being a detriment to the quality and caliber of the brand and the experience you deliver, regardless of the circumstance.
Understood. Do you have any prediction for it? I think there's a lot like where AI can take us in the long run. Limitless, who knows? Do you have any immediate predictions for 2024? Maybe it's AI, maybe it's something else in marketing, but what do you see as the next thing to happen this year?
I think there's a few things that are probably on the horizon. I don't tend to like to make predictions, but I think that marketers are going to continue to experiment because they are an experiment a lot. And through the process of digital transformation, more marketing teams have been empowered with technical capabilities. They've acquired budget from IT teams and so forth over time, and they're able to do more experimentation. So I think marketers will continue to embrace AI things, but those AI things need to perform, right? And the marketers are likely to be held more accountable for the ROI, even if it's not so formal, but on like, what are we getting out of this? There should always be room in a marketing team's budget for some experimental stuff. Like, you know, here's some mad money. You can do what you want with it. As long as you don't take the business down, right? Don't expose PII. Don't put us in a situation where you're going to get fired and so is everybody else around you kind of thing. But when you get to something more robust, marketers are going to need to continue to integrate their capabilities within the broader scope of an enterprise if you're in a larger organization, and derive intelligence out of it. Like data-driven marketing is still a thing. It'll become even more a thing. There's a beauty to things like AI and helping you. Like I can see in HubSpot now, for example, right? They have this AI assistant riding shotgun with their platform. And you can just start to ask it some questions that you might have previously had to ask, say, a data analyst for, right? Hey, show me the web traffic for the past 6 months. And whoop, there it is. Pretty cool. Export that data for me and so forth. Now, where it's going to get sexier is when you use something like Salesforce and other capabilities that are just more robust, more enterprisey, you're going to end up with people trying to combine things. Combine the last 6 months worth of sales data with web traffic and customer service calls on a Tuesday and show me interesting anomalies kind of thing so that I can target people that would be ripe for upgrade. Holy shit. Right, that's pretty interesting stuff. Yeah. And I think that's where marketing is going to continue to push and leverage capabilities like AI and the more tools that are out there that allow marketers just to kind of freeform and get sensical, addressable, actionable data and insights out of it will really be quite interesting to be a part of and to use myself, goodness sakes.
I'd like to say that both the near and distant future have exciting possibilities ahead.
They always do, right? That's the optimists in all of us. The flip side of that is, you know, there will be some bad things happening in 2024, no doubt about it. We have an election year in the United States.
Right.
Things like AI will be vilified as you know, for something bad will happen. We don't know what. There'll be some sort of data breach someplace. We don't know why, but something will happen. And, you know, again, it'll be just interesting to see where it all goes. But I tend to be more of an optimist, a pragmatic optimist. I do think marketers need to harness capabilities like AI to understand and analyze what's the world around them and how they can make intelligent decisions and drive investments and convince executives that this is the right thing to do and here's why.
Last one for you here. Again, you're a veteran of 30 plus years in the world of marketing. I'm curious, what is perhaps one non-consensus opinion that you have in the wild world of marketing?
Oof. That's tough, and not because I don't like to be a pain in the butt, but because I'm just trying to think of the one that makes the most sense. I think I might be more in the minority about marketing needing to get back to those basics, right? It's still about, you know, who do you know? What are they trying to achieve? Why are they trying to achieve it? And how does your solution address that problem? And how do you demonstrate the return on investments? How do you help people to solve their problems? Marketing can be overwhelmed by all of these shiny red objects and so forth. But if you don't know those fundamentals, if you don't know what you're doing, if you can't really clearly explain it to yourself, much less to peer groups and to your audience, then you're kind of in a bad spot. So I'd like to see more marketers get back to some of the fundamentals. I think the other part of that is we have new generations of marketers coming into organizations today, right? I don't want to be ageist at all, but there's just people coming in have less experience doing stuff. And they have high expectations for like an entitlement, if you will, to like, I should be able to be, you know, senior vice president of marketing tomorrow. Well, there is something to be said for being tried in battle and kind of finding your way, earning your position. So I'd like to see more of those, more of the next generation of marketers coming into things. Boy, I sound old as hell. But I'd like to see more than the next generation of marketers just spend more time on those fundamentals, and then they will be for sure in the best positions to drive their careers forward. And I think that's, we just look at marketers as a commodity sometimes, and I think we need to invest in them as human beings and as skilled strategic resources, and companies, especially big companies, need to look at them that way and grow them.
Battle tested before we get ready for elevated steps in our career.
Yeah. I mean, we all deserve a little luck in our careers to kind of move forward. We all deserve to know people. The power of your network matters so, so much. But don't come into marketing expecting to be, you know, SVP on day one, right, without doing a couple of things. And if you focus on some of those fundamentals I think are missing in some marketers that are being swept forward today, you know, you're in a better position to be successful.
I love it. David, this has been fun. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Ben, for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Modern Marketing. This podcast is brought to you by Influicity, empowering marketers to build customer communities that drive revenue. We create massive demand via social, influencer, content, paid media, and of course, podcast. Learn more at Influicity.com.